What a great hymn that was. Open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 1. Be sure to take out your outline so you can follow along. Proverbs chapter 1, as we begin this series and this wonderful book. But I couldn't forget the wonderful words we just sang, and probably one of the most comforting words in all of the song that we must never forget, and certainly we have in it affirmed in our scripture reading, the first line in the last stanza, when Christ shall come with a shout of acclamation. Beloved, he's coming. There's no if, and, nothing going to hinder it. He's coming. Boom, exclamation point. And then it goes on, and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart. And when you meditate on the great theme of our faith, especially on the second coming of Jesus Christ, it will comfort your heart even in the midst of trials and tribulation. When things are tough and you don't understand, we know that all things are in his hand and he is in control and we are safe, all because of his grace. So much to be thankful for. I'm starting it right away. I would intended to get all the way through verse 19 by tonight. That's not going to happen. I'll barely get to verse 6 by tonight. Too much here. The foundation is here. I hope you agree. But let's read the first 7 verses. Follow along. The proverb of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb, an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's pray. Father, be with us tonight. Be with us today. Be with us as we work our way through this passage. Lord, this is not always the easiest, but Lord, this is heavy stuff in the sense that this is the course we are to live. We are to live according to wisdom. And the wisdom not of this world, but the wisdom from above. We are supposed to have discernment to distinguish between not only good and bad, light and darkness, but what is good and best. We need to understand that this is expected of us if we're going to be taken the path of wisdom and to be regarded as wise people. Not to do it is to have the shameful title of being a fool. A fool in God's eyes. A fool living one's life for vanity, for self, without any regard for the Creator and the purpose for which he was given, and we have been given in our existence. So, Father, be with us, help us, and I ask that you would, beginning right now in our series, to put within us a burning, insatiable desire to pursue hunger and a thirst for wisdom, that we would live a life that is honoring to you and for your glory, and for the good of those around us. So, Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. By way of introduction, as we begin that wonderful and helpful book, the first thing we encounter is the purpose of the book in verses 2 through 6. Solomon presents 10 words that summarize the benefit Proverbs gives the person who reads, studies, understands, and heeds its instruction. Now, as I said last week, this is my gift to the young people, but with that come challenges from me to you from time to time. So this is your challenge for this tonight, today and tonight. I want you, I'll be giving attention to these 10 words and benefits that Solomon is going to give here, and I would like to challenge you to listen for them and write them down on your outline as you hear them. As well as best you can, write down the definition for each word as well. Don't simply do doodling anymore. Let it your book. Let get what God would have for you in this study together. So listen for the 10 words. It'll be both this morning and tonight. I'll give you a hint. 7 this morning, 3 tonight. Parents and members, take time to help if they ask for help. As we consider each of these words and see the fruit they yield in the life of a person who dared to put them into practice, what we have in this book, basically, it had two main driving purposes. Number one, to give moral skillfulness, and number two, mental discernment. Point number one, I simply entitled To Know, verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. What Solomon wanted to understand is as we read and as we study and as we digest this book and study it and come to understand it and apply it to our lives, it will help us to come to know certain things. And the idea here, the word know is not simply head knowledge. It is to become acquainted, to recognize, to perceive, to have a personal encounter with the truth or the wisdom contained in this book. So the purpose is not simply to know from an information perspective, but to take it as one's own, that you make it your own to know. When we read Proverbs, we'll learn a lot about the truth, and we're going to learn a lot about what's right. There'll be a constant contrast between a wise person and a fool. A wise man will do this, a fool will do this. Right or wrong, light and darkness. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says that every word of God is pure. He is the shield of those who put their trust in Him. Psalms 18, verse 30, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is the shield to all who trust in Him. Psalms 119, 140, your word is very pure, therefore your servant loved it. By studying Proverbs, we'll become personally acquainted with benefit number one, wisdom. The purpose of this book is that you would come to be acquainted and to know what wisdom is. Wisdom is the skillful use of knowledge for successful living. When you survey the use of this word throughout the Old Testament, it shows it is much more than a simple gaining of knowledge and data or information. Dan Phillips said this, wisdom is never merely a matter of knowing facts, but of knowing what to do with them and doing it. So it's taking knowledge, as my definition last week, taking knowledge, applying it to life for the good of others, for the glory of God. It is taking this knowledge and applying it. It's one thing to have to know what to do and how to do it. It's another thing to apply it and do it. Wisdom is the application of that knowledge. that word would use and address at people who were skillful in their various trade. And they were people that knew how to take their trade and apply it to efficiency with the skill of a craftsman. It refers throughout the Old Testament of the mental and physical skills of craftsmen, sailors on a boat, use of singers, administrators, and how to lead, and counselors, and others. For example, in Exodus 28, verse 3, "So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisan, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom." They didn't simply got information. These are artisans who knew what to do and how to do it and did it. The idea here, they went on to say, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me at the priest. So just so you know, Aaron's garment was not a simple piece of garment. It was a extraordinarily unique garment, and God wanted it done a specific way, and it took gifted artisans and skillful seamstress to be able to do Aaron's garment that required wisdom from above. Exodus 31, verse 3 through 5. "I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic work, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship." Though we got wisdom here, it's not simply about being an artisan and a gifted artisan. It's not about simply having a job. It is about doing it with excellence. Taking the best of the information and applying it and doing it. Putting it to action. This is an interesting contrast that I found. Psalm 107, verse 25 through 27. In this psalm, we will see an interesting contrast when it comes to those who come to the end of their own wisdom. Let me read it to you. "For he commands and raised the stormy wind, which lift up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depth. Their soul melt because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man," listen carefully, "and are at their wit's end." Now, what is interesting, the word wit there is the exact same word as wisdom here in our passage. What is he saying? He is saying that the sailors in this storm had all their wisdom was confused. Or another way, they have used up and exhausted all of their wisdom and skill as sailors to fight and survive this storm. So there is a limitation to human wisdom or human wisdom within men that they come to their end. They have exhausted all of the resources. But another thing that's important, and one of the things you're going to hear over and over throughout this proverb, is the constant pursuit and all you're getting, all you're striving, all, and make sure the number one thing you pursue is wisdom. But don't make the mistake of thinking that wisdom is the end goal. Why? Because Jeremiah 9, 23 and 4 says this. Very familiar passage. "Thus said the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, said the Lord." So it's not simply the end goal of getting wisdom. At the end of the day, it is wisdom for the glory of God. This wisdom which Solomon brings to our attention is the skill of living in the fear of Yahweh. first one I gave you was the word wisdom. Now we are introduced to the second one. Look at verse 2. Know wisdom and the word instruction. That's the second benefit. The word instruction. Now, when we first look at that without peeling back and finding out what the exact meaning is in the original language, it is the word that means discipline, correction, or chasten. It is the word that means this, learning through correction. We are going to go through life being rebuked and challenged and because we will get off the path, and when we get corrected, to learn from it and get back on the path. That's the idea of this word. This word is that you will know this instruction or know what it means to be corrected by being chastened and to learn and to be teachable. One of the things you find in Leviticus 26, verse 18 and verse 23 and 4, it says this, listen carefully. And after all this, if you do not obey me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sin. Then in verse 23 and 4, and if by these things you are not reformed by me, but walk contrary to me, then I will walk contrary to you, and I will punish you yet 7 times for your sin. God said that when they disobey and walk contrary to his law, he will chasten them. Why? It is to correct them. It is to reform them. It is to fix them and get them back on the right path. This is the idea that when you go through this book is going to have times of correcting you and rebuking you and reproving you. And are you going to take that instruction and be corrected by it? That's the purpose of this book. God's correction is not about punishment. It is about learning, changing, and developing a godly character and walking in a path that honors and glorifies him and protects you in the long run. But all that is forfeited and canceled when we resist and are stubborn. Like Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 5, verse 3, O Lord, are not your eyes on the truth? You have stricken them, but they have not grieved. You have consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to return. When God corrected, when his word corrected, we need to be teachable and allow it to fix us and correct us. This book will help us to do that, to know this kind of instruction that comes from correction. Dan Phillips said it this way, we can see in all these cases that Yahweh corrected his people. But it is equally plain that this correction did them no good. Why not? Was it some defect in Yahweh or a deficiency in his method? Absurd thought, he said. The defect was in the people. They did not listen. They did not accept. They did not take to heart God's correction. They stiffened their neck and refused to repent. Consequently, the correction did not take. Beloved, it is a terrible thing, a woeful thing, to be corrected by God and to shun that correction, to ignore that correction, to resist and be stubborn and stiffen your neck to that correction. This book is designed, if we take it, learn it, and apply its truth to our hearts and lives, to help us to go in the direction of allowing correction to teach us to get back on the right path. A commentator by the name of Kitchen said this, Proverbs, I love this, Proverbs will step on your toes, but in doing so will discipline you and keep your feet on the right path when you walk in their light. Listen to this. Reading this book is profitable, but not comfortable. You're going to have plenty of ouch, oh me, oh my goodness, this hurts. but allow it to correct you. It's going to tie, it's going to intersect in so many topics and so many themes and so many subjects that you will be touched multiple times in various areas of your life. Let God's word speak to you here. Beloved, we must listen, we must receive instruction from those who are older and wiser than us as well. As we continue on, look at verse 2 again, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. First of all, the word perceive means to observe, to see, with the idea of giving heed to it. It's not enough simply to see it, it is enough to see it and act upon it. That's the idea. You're going to find this book is a very practical book. It's not a heady book. It's not simply about the cranium. It starts there and goes out in living. It is the idea that this word in Proverbs, we're going to learn there's right and there's wrong, truth and error, understanding and stupidity, wisdom and wise and fool and folly. Very clear. And this is to help you to perceive that, and once you see it, to act upon it. So what would benefit number 3? And that is the word understanding. Understanding. The word understanding here at the end of verse 2. That you would perceive understanding. The word understanding is discernment and insight. The ability to look at two issues and see what God sees. To see, a lot of times people see, just see a conglomeration, and when there are things that do differ, that you will be able to have the ability to distinguish the things that differ and go in the path that is God's way. When you continue to keep it muddled up in your head and your heart and your mind, you're going to get confused, and most likely you're going to go on the path of wrong rather than in the way of wisdom and right. God's word here in the book of Proverbs is to help you to perceive with understanding that distinction and to be able to act upon it. That's what Solomon asked for. Remember last week, or actually 2 weeks ago, when I dealt with the introduction of this book, where we talked about where Solomon was given a carte blanche. You can have anything you want. And he said, I want wisdom. And here's what he said in 1 Kings 3:9. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart. Why? To judge your people that I may discern between good and evil. Who is able to judge the great people of yours? He said, in of myself, I don't have the ability to help settle these issues among your people. Give me the discernment to know the distinction. One commentator said that these proverbs cut through the fog of human reasoning and throw the spotlight of God upon a given situation. In other words, we have been conditioned in the world in which we live, which had become very secularized, and we think like worldly wise men. We see it from human reasoning rather than from God's perspective. I'm not discarding human reasoning because we need it to think. But at the end of the day, we need to see it from God's viewpoint, what God sees. All through here, he's going to say, hey, don't go here and walk here. It's almost as if the Lord's behind your back guiding you if you're listening. If you're listening. In finishing the quote, throw spotlight of God on a given situation, revealing God's verdict. At the end of the day, doesn't matter what anybody says about any topic or subject. What did God say? And he had the final say. Those of us who belong to him love his final say. We wouldn't want anything but his verdict. Lord, what is right here? I don't understand. Look at the things in our world. Look at the things at work. Look at the things in my neighborhood. Look at the things in my family. I don't understand. What is your take on this? That is what a wise person does. When you go through this, you will develop a desire to want to have perception and perceive understanding. But when you begin to get them, be careful, beware of leaning to your own understanding. One of the most popular proverbs of them all, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Same word, understanding, that we have in verse 2. Same word. Be careful. You know, just because you have come to the conclusion your desire is sincere and genuine doesn't mean you came to the right conclusion. That's why we always need to be teachable. And Dan Phillips said this: we are not to sort things out for ourselves without the thought of God revealed in scripturated wisdom. We are to learn and absorb His wisdom and apply it in sorting out the details of our life. Beloved, it is a terrible thing to go through this life without asking God, what do you want from me? What is the right path for me here? Do I go here or there? Do I go to this school or that school? What do I do? And you're dependent and leaning and looking to the Lord. That's why Psalm 119:34 said, give me understanding and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I'll observe it with my whole heart. It's all about understanding life issued from God's divine viewpoint. Point number 2 in our outline. I simply entitle it, to receive, based on verse 3. Look at verse 3 with me. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity. The idea here is to receive something. To receive it in such a way that you receive it, that you lay hold on it. Not simply, how many times have we gotten gifts, we're thankful for the gift at the moment, and then we shelve it and never use the gift ever. Or once in a great while. When it comes to this kind of wisdom and this kind of knowledge, it's not about receiving it and shelving it. It's about receiving it and using it. It's the idea of the word in that, by definition, is to lay hold of something, to seize something, to acquire something, take possession of, to make it your own. Don't simply say, yeah, I have a Bible. Know the Bible. Read the Bible. Learn the Bible. Let the Bible be part of you. That's the idea we have here, to receive. It also implies you're getting it from someone. And may I help you, that someone is the Lord. Because it said later on in chapter 2 of Proverbs, verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. The right kind of wisdom, the right kind of knowledge, and the right kind of understanding. The world has its own. They're perfectly content. But in the end, they will lose out because they did not choose to fear the Lord. That we have in here, it is the Lord who gives us this wisdom. Benefit number 4 is the instruction of wisdom. Now, when you look at it, it looks like there's a lot of repeat, but they're using different Hebrew words, but we don't have the kind of equivalent variety that a lot of the original language have. So, benefit number 4 is the instruction of wisdom. It is the idea to have discernment and insight and comprehension to something. Okay? It is a little different than the one found in verse 2. In verse 2, it talked about the things that differ. And here we have the understanding for the reason of the decision that's made. The idea here is that when we feed on the book of Proverbs and study it, not only helped it to distinguish God's choice in any situation, but why it is His choice. One of the beautiful things about our Christian faith, beloved, is God doesn't simply tell you, here's what I want you to do, do it. He tells you, here's what I want you to do, and here's why. Not always. A lot of times, we got the book of Job to prove that. But you look at the epistles, a lot of doctrinal, theological foundations laid down to create the therefore to the practical application of the rest of the book. So you have the why, and here's how, why you do it. And because of this, this is what you do. Therefore, because of this, you do this. That's what we have here, that you will receive the instruction of wisdom. You will see it as it came from the Lord. But here's what's very important that we need to see. Notice again verse 3. To receive the instruction of wisdom. And that was number 4. Then it followed by 3 words, and those 3 words speak to the fact of leading a life of justice, judgment, and equity. The word justice means living a life of righteousness. That's what the word means. It is the life that speaks of what is right or just in God's eyes. Not from the laws of the land, not from what your neighbor thinks, but from God's viewpoint. That we would learn to live with justice and righteousness. The next word is the word judgment. It's not being judgmental. It's not judging people. The word speaks of the fact of the act of deciding. It's like making a verdict on a situation. It is deciding and making the right decisions and acting upon them. Again, it speaks to the being active. And heeding and responding and obeying. And so in the idea of judgment, you come, and once you realize what God wants you to do, act upon that. Be decisive, not indecisive, from a perspective of God's way. There is a lot of Christians, they're just floundering because they're so spiritually indecisive. Let me help you with that. Study, read, know, and understand, and apply Proverbs. Here lies the challenge. Read a Proverbs of the day for the rest of your life. Because you'll never master them all, and you'll need to be continually reminded of what is important and vital in our pursuit. It all leads to a life not only of justice and righteousness, of judgment, of acting, making the right decisions and acting upon it, but it's a word that needs to permeate the life of God's people, and that is the life of equity, which is nothing more than a word that means upright, what is correct, and what is fair. May we be those kind of people. This book will help us in that way. Commentator by the name of Ross said this, quote, "So the disciple of the book of Proverbs will acquire discipline that will produce a prudent life, and that prudent life will be demonstrated by doing what is right, just, and fair." This insight, beloved, is not meant to fill the head with loppy thought, but to live in the daily grind of life for the glory of God. Point number 3 in our outline, to give, verse 4. To give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Now we have isolated some people. The first 2 verses dealt with everyone. Everyone. All walked of life across all spectrums. Here, we're addressing and zeroing in to some people that are viewed and seen by God as simple and young. Okay? First of all, I want to bring out the word to give. To give is to remind it again that prudence and wisdom do not originate within us. But outside of it, it comes from the Lord. So, benefit number five is the word prudence. Prudence. Prudence means to be wise and vigilant in practical matters. Take care of the details of your life in a very good and practical way that not just takes care of you, but honors the Lord. It is being careful in one is living out their life, in every area of their life. You can be foolish, careless, and make decisions that reflect foolishness and folly. You don't want to do that. Proverbs will help you to avoid that, to become prudent. Okay? This word, prudent, you want to be careful because when you do a word search to it, it is used negatively as well as positively. The word would use negatively for Satan. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. The word cunning is the same word prudence here. Same exact word. But we know from that it was negative. It was crappy to cause and create havoc and sin and rebellion and rejection of God. But on a positive note, as stated here in our passage, it is to give prudence to the simple so they could live a life that would be practical and useful and that they will be vigilant in that. Now we are talking about who in the world needs it. It is a person who is viewed as the simple one. They are the people that are seen as gullible, they are untaught, and they are naive. It is not a person who is intellectually disabled, who cannot comprehend, or a fool who rejects wisdom. Instead, it is one whose exposure to life and wisdom had been limited. Because of their inexperience, they are gullible and easily influenced and taken advantage of. Simple people are easy people to deceive. We're going to see it throughout here how simpletons were deceived again and again and again when they didn't have to be. This book will wise you up. Help you to think, no, I know where you're going with this. I'm not going there. That is how God protects people. When we allow His wisdom permeate our lives and give us the discernment to know things that differ and so on and so forth. It's not because they don't have it. It's because they just haven't had life exposure yet. They have not had the experience. They're young and simple and believe me, folks, I've met people in their 40s who are classified as simple. They're so open-minded and vulnerable to any influence and idea that comes along. It's like the old song, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. If you don't stand for God, you're going to fall for all the tricks of the trade that man's going to use to take advantage of you. It is our responsibility to protect ourselves and those who we are responsible for. Proverbs will help us with that prudence to be diligent and careful in our details. I know young people get frustrated with parents because they got a... The young people, when they... Let's say they're going on vacation. And young people checklist is, I'm going to have fun. That's pretty much the extent of it. Now, the parent list is detail. I got to bring this, got to make sure this is paid for, and I need the truck filled, and I need all the details taken care of. Why? Because they're trying to be prudent, so when they're out there, everybody's having a good time. But every one of us eventually got to get to the place where we have to be diligent with our daily business. Not always depending upon somebody else to do it for us. That's why the job of parent is to train them to become self-sufficient on their own, and young people, for you to allow that teaching to take place. Now we have the young man, which is nothing more than a young person, or translated the word lad or youth. May not have to do with age. I believe it has more to do with maturity. You can be old in age and immature. Here, this young man is viewed and seen as the need to have knowledge, which is benefit number 6. Knowledge. That word knowledge is the word perception, discernment, gain through experience. Now, when you're young and immature, and when you go through life and you don't learn from life, you're kind of stunting your maturity maturation process. The idea here is this book, Proverbs, gives every immature person an awareness of the truth that normally only years of experience might be granted to older and more mature people. In other words, we can learn from our own mistakes, or we can let Proverbs teach us to avoid the pitfalls of life. Too many times I've talked to Christians, this is what God said, but I mean, you know, why do you have to learn the hard way? When God's word said, that's foolish. Wisdom said, let me guide you in the path you go. When that happens, you trust Him, you're living by faith, you're allowing His word, His principle, His standard to be the governor of your life. That's the beauty of this book. That young people, immature people, people who may, doesn't matter what age, haven't grown to maturity. Certainly, not only in life, but spiritually as well, because you can't rule out the moral from the hands-on successful living. Long time ago, when I first started studying Proverbs, because it was my book I love all my life, or Christian life, I should say, and I came across a quote that I have never forgotten. And it goes like that: anyone can learn from the mistakes of others, but it takes a wise person to learn from the mistakes of others. Proverbs will help you to observe, oh my goodness, I don't want that in my life. But you know what a lot of times people do? Well, it wouldn't happen to me because I wouldn't do it their way. I got news for you. You're going to get the same results. Because when you follow the path of folly and foolishness, you're going to get the fruit of folly and foolishness. And only God's wisdom and God's way will you succeed and be blessed. Bring that to the 7th benefit, and that is the word that this young man or young person get: destruction. Destruction. It is the ability to plan wisely, to form a practical plan of action, and to work it to its profitable and good end. Here we see it is good. It's not about simply having fun or having a good time or a buzz or your next, adrenaline high. It's about life. It's about being useful and productive, not only for yourself, but for your neighbors, for your fellow man, for your family, and for the glory of God. That's why my definition, wisdom is nothing more than taking knowledge and applying it to life for the good of your neighbor, for the glory of God. It's all-encompassing. It captured it all. The world's wisdom is this: taking knowledge and applying it for self. For me. I don't care about anybody else. God, who has time for him? When you live